kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, welcome. Praise God. This is the day the Lord's made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And he's moved in our hearts, has he not, to come before his presence. Because he said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. Let's commit our time before him. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we come into your presence, Father, through the blood of the Lamb, and that you have given us ears and hearts in which to hear your word. Lord, may this word glorify your name and go forth and touch our minds, our hearts. Will it not only be teaching, but deliverance and healing to us now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I have a title for us to look at today, and we're calling our teaching, Self Must Come to an End. Self must come to an end. I think we're learning, aren't we, that God is going to deal with the self, that is you, the person, as he did with his son. Much of our trial, our walk of faith, is that God is dealing with us, the person. And we go through all these different experiences with the Lord. Each day is often quite different. And it is because God is dealing with the self-life. In actual fact, we could say that God is actually removing hindrances to our faith in believing and trusting with that childlike faith that we're to have in his word. We still try to analyze. We still try to understand in the flesh, and you never will. That is why we are worshippers in spirit and in truth. It is spiritual. The word of God that we hear is spiritual, and it is light. And so often God is dealing with the self, that is the flesh life, where we have still the wrong thinking, the wrong ideas, where God is renewing the mind through his word, that manna that we eat, in order for us to understand. Because when you understand, that very often is faith. Understanding settles you. It reminds you of the rock that you stand upon, which is Jesus Christ. And we also know that the mind, our minds, are a target also to the powers of darkness. And that is where our battle is so often, is in the mind. But you see, the wonderful thing about all of this, and we don't always appreciate it, that the deeper life teaching that we are teaching and others around the world is your deliverance. It is what helps to keep the doors closed to the mind. Because the enemy is all the while trying to reopen those doors that you have closed, where you have allowed Christ to stand as a banner, as a shield in your mind and your thinking. You see, he doesn't like this. He doesn't like the saints coming together under the anointing in which God is working healing and deliverance with us. And this, of course, is why he fights and does the subtle work that he does. But praise God, we're here, and we're here to learn and to listen. And as I've said, we're going to call this teaching, Self Must Come to an End. You see, the cross is the center of all of this. And he's going to keep bringing us back to this until we settle it in our hearts and our affections. This is why sometimes we think, oh gosh, I've heard this all before. And indeed you have. But there is a reason why God will bring us back and continue to remind us what is the center of the gospel, is the center of your life. When you confess Jesus and your love for Jesus and God, you are also confessing the cross in your life that you take up daily, which he did also. And we will eventually begin to learn the wisdom and mind of God, why he continues to remind us of this. Because our cross that we too are to take up daily is going to be our deliverance. It is not only going to be our deliverance, but this, of course, is where the bride makes herself ready for the coming of the Lord. But often, these affections and self can still get in the way. You see, we have to understand there isn't enough room for two natures. A lot of ministers, teachers, actually preach that you have two natures. You have a new nature, which is in Christ, and you have an old nature. It's absolute rubbish. It's because they're trying to understand these battles, these fights that we have, these trials that we have. And so the only thing they can come up, well, it's your old nature that made you sin or compromise. It isn't. The Bible clearly shows that God circumcises the heart. It is out of the heart are the issues of life. And that is why only God can deal with the heart, because nobody else knows the heart. We don't know our hearts. We don't know what is there until the trials and the tests come. And it's not that you have two natures. You have one nature which is renewed in Christ. There isn't enough room for two natures. That almost is spiritual schizophrenia. Why, at times we contend in our battles and overcoming with that new nature that we have, which is Jesus Christ. You have one nature that's made new by your faith, your confession, your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we preach about being born again, but wish to live with those two natures. And we can all be guilty of this. We may know the theology of this, that we only have one nature, but we still wish we had two, because then we can explain away our weaknesses, our unbelief, our sinning. But you can't when you have one nature, which is in Jesus Christ. And thank God for this, because then this throws us utterly, totally dependent upon him and upon his word and the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. You see, we don't grow into oneness. It's a spiritual relationship that we have. And this is step by step. You either have it or you don't. And if you have this relationship, then like all relationships, they continue to grow and blossom. The nearest analogy that we can give to this is in marriage between a man and a woman that God has ordained. But that marriage and relationship is growing, is developing. is maturing. That is the nature of it. No way when you come together in marriage can you know everything. You can't. It's impossible. Because we're learning. It's what a fallen world has done. It's what sin has done. And so because God has restored us back in relationship, fellowship with Him, it's now a walk. It's a journey. It's a learning day by day. The same as our fellowship in the body of Christ. Our unity, our oneness is a growth. We have only got where we are today, that is with FGA, because of the years of walking with the Lord and fellowshipping with each other. You can't learn from one another, you can't experience fellowship if you run away. And sadly, that's what a lot of the world does today. If marriage gets a bit hard, you run away. You don't. You stay with it. And you allow God to work through the situation. And it's the same with our walk. That's why we say so often, it's those that endure to the end will be saved, that Jesus clearly revealed in Matthew 24. Of course, there are times we want to give up. There are times as a pastor I've wanted to give up, that I feel I'm banging my head against a brick wall. But you're in it for life. You're in it for eternity. Because you know that God hasn't made a mistake. And this is where you settle these things. And there is nothing like the cross that you take up daily that deals with all of these things, which otherwise we will simply run away. And so when a trial comes up in your life, what is center? You griping and moaning and wanting your own way? Or are you finding at the end of it, Lord, crucify me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That should be what comes out of our mouth at the end of the day in that trial. And that is a clear indication that God is working with you. He's working in your heart. And that is why he lets you hear what comes out of your mouth. Because what comes out of your mouth is a spiritual thermometer, telling you spiritually what your temperature is. And that's why God does it. You see? And then you have a chance to get it right. Lord, I don't like what I see. I don't like what's coming out of my mouth. I don't like what I'm thinking in my mind and my heart. But I'm going to settle the cross because only the cross can deal with this. And when you do that, when you settle it, when you confess it, you'll find that your deliverance and change of mind and heart comes sometimes quicker than you realize. And then you say to yourself, what was all that fuss about? And of course, the enemy likes to blow it all out of proportion. He is a master at working in the mind on that. What does it say in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. There it is. This cleansing is effectual. This cleansing is an ongoing process. Work. Christ not only shed his blood on the cross, when he gave his life up as an offering, as an atonement, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But his blood still cleanses and delivers and heals today and always. So it wasn't just a one-off thing. It is continual. It is working. Do you know that the blood of Christ is working right now, this moment, this second, even while we're listening to this teaching? Thank God for the blood of Jesus. And that's why we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And never forget that. Because it's dealing with your unbelief. It's dealing with the stubbornness of the heart. It's dealing with confusion in the mind. Or whatever it is. This is why the devil hates the blood of the Lamb. Because this is what reconciles us. This is what keeps us in that relationship with God. The blood of the Lamb deals with unbroken fellowship. And you don't want unbroken fellowship with God. And this is his provision in order that you walk in the light. And that light is going to teach you. That light is going to deliver you. That light is going to expose what is in the heart. It's not rocket science. All God wants of us is to yield to this and not resist him, not oppose him, but just trust him that his light will be your healing and deliverance. His light will shine the way for you. Are you not sure at the moment? Are you at a crossroads? Of course we are. We go through these trials, but stay with it because that light will shine in time and you will know the way in which to go. And that is why we don't run before the Lord, but wait for that light to shine, and it will. Why does it take time? Because it's shining through darkness. And what is the darkness? Is Satan, who is the god of this world at the moment. That is what it shines through. He has to divide the powers of darkness. And that is what the light of God does. And once that light is on, there's no doubting. You can't doubt because you know, you see, God is speaking, God is showing. And that's how our Lord walked. He walked in that light daily. He knew that light that he walked in couldn't separate him from his Father. And that is why he knew what his Father required of him. And he said and did only that which was revealed. What was revealing this to him? The light that he walked in. The same light that you and I walk in. It's just our resisting that brings the hindrance. And so God has provided for that hindrance. That disobedience. And he says it's the cross. And he says, just take it up each day. Let it be your confession. And the Holy Spirit will do the rest. And he does. And he does. Because we are cleansed from sin. We're cleansed now. We're not being continually cleansed, which a lot preach in a subtle sort of way. No, we are a new creation. Sin was dealt with, rebellion. Your new nature was dealt with once and for all. What you're doing and I'm doing now is walking in that new nature, which Satan tries to suggest that you haven't got. You're still your old self. Nothing has changed. That's his lies, his deception. Well, eventually we begin to listen to what he's saying and then we shut the door in our minds to it. Because that's where he condemns. He condemns the saints. But the word of God says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And there we are. This is why I make much about we receive this by the Spirit. Because it is the Spirit that gives us light. And that light is Jesus, who is the light of the world, the one who has overcome all things. And that's why when we just yield to this, we don't resist this, we obey this, then we begin to understand. You see, to know God is not based on trying to find out. We don't try and find out in this walk. That's how the world works. We don't have to do that. God brings it to you. Whatever you need to know, God will bring it to you. Whatever light you need on in understanding, God will bring it to you. I always remember a minister that used to come over from Guernsey years ago to preach and teach. And he was very anointed man. And I had the privilege of sitting under his teaching for some years, which was a great help to me in the beginning. And he took me to one side and he said to me, "You don't ever need to go and look for demons. They'll find you." And I've never forgotten that, and how right he was. The attacks that come through people, or deliverances, or casting out of demons, you don't need to go looking for them. They will find you. And that's how it works. Whatever healing and deliverance is needed for the glory of God and to set the captives free, you don't have to look for it. It will find you. That is how Jesus walked. He never went looking for it. It was there. The Father presented it to him. The Father presented the disciples to him. The Father presented the 5,000 that needed healing to him. We are trying to do it. And it's not. It's yielding over and allowing the Spirit to do it through us, who is the light of the world. He simply wants us as vessels. And he will do the rest. And that's why so much today doesn't work in Christianity. Because it's man organizing it. It's man who is in control. And God moves away. And it just becomes religious dead works. And sadly, Christendom is filled with it. That's why God says, "My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts." You are never going to know my ways until you yield over to me. And I will reveal it. You see, so many come over in such a manner today that we're even in control of our salvation. We're in control of our destiny. And so on. We're not. God first loved us. God chooses who he wants. It's not up to us. We're simply to proclaim the gospel. We're to share the good message of the news of Jesus Christ, because God has set the doorway into the kingdom in the body of Christ. But the calling to salvation is in the word that is preached, and we don't know who is going to respond and who is not. But that is where it is. God hasn't given us the authority to know who will and who will not be saved. That is his choice. And he says, you'll know those who are saved because you will see the fruit that is born in their lives. Are we getting it now, brothers and sisters? It's not about me devoting more time to prayer, as much as it is, or more study in the Word of God. All of that has a place, of course it does. At the end of the day, it is the light that we receive, the light that shines in this situation, or what God requires of me. If God is requiring something of you, then he's going to give you light in which to move in accordance. It's called walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. Romans 8 is all about the light of God revealing his will to you. That's what it's about. So we have to ask ourselves, am I stopping God from working through me? Am I stopping the Lord from speaking through me? Am I getting everything secondhand? You see, my calling in ministry is that you received and are touched by Almighty God. If you are only receiving just through this ministry and what I'm preaching, you are missing out what God is trying to do. This ministry is to present you to God and God alone, that you have your personal relationship with him, that you hear from him, and that he uses you, not via through me. I am simply a mouthpiece to point you, to encourage you, to point you in the right direction, who is the Lord. That's why I keep saying my ministry is very much a ministry of preaching myself out of a job. Because it's to present you before the Lord, that you have that personal walk and relationship with him. It cannot be done via through a man. That is idolatry. And we have so much of that today in Christendom. And the Apostle Paul, he addressed that, didn't he, to the Corinth church. He said, some of you follow me, some of you Apollos, and whatever it is. And he says, you're divided. You're sensual, you're carnal. He addressed that. He saw it. And any true minister who's called of God has a godly fear of that. That they present God's people to the Lord and him alone. And if you are truly in fellowship with God and you're hearing from God, then my ministry or any other anointed ministry is simply a confirmation of what God is saying and doing in your life. Because faith also needs confirmation. When we say faith comes by hearing the word of God, which it does, It's also because it's confirming to you what God is already saying. Whether it's something you're waiting upon, or you're looking for direction, you're looking for wisdom, guidance, or whether it's for your healing, or whatever it would be, it's always a confirmation. That is the nature of preaching and teaching. And of course we're learning, of course we are. And that's why the Word of God says that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They're following because it's confirming to their heart, their spirit. And when it's not confirming, don't follow that teaching, that ministry. Stop, wait, seek the Lord. Because we've all put our ears to ministers that really we shouldn't. And after a time you find this poison that's mixed in that which I'm hearing. And it's not confirming everything. You don't listen any longer. You've nothing in common with it. You see, when you're putting Christ first, you're putting the kingdom of God first. Because it's his kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You're praying Jesus into that situation because it's his kingdom that he's going to share with you and I. That is why the bride's making herself ready now in these last days. And putting the kingdom first is our affection, our heart, our desire, our obedience and everything. Because you see, if you're selfish, you're insisting in having your own way. You're more interested in your own kingdom, your own wants and so on. And people who want to put their own kingdom self first, you will often find they're also very controlling. And that's why, again, we have so much problems in pulpits, teachers, ministers, because the cross isn't in their life and there's a controlling element to it. And I hear a lot of it. They're planning, they're scheming, they're organising. So much of it is done in the flesh. They're fitting God into their busy schedules. I tell you, God isn't going to have that. As I've said so often, the most busiest people are not very spiritual. We mustn't be influenced by the world, lives and organisation. And I'll tell you why. Because those sort of people, they lack revelation towards God. They're not experiencing his peace, his joy. They're often driven. They're vexed, tired, overworked, don't sleep well. Loss of peace. They're really living just like the world. That's not how God has called us. And if we're like that, then God's clearly saying self must come to an end. You see, when we yield to God, we obey him, then God touches you in whatever way he sees fit in your life. And that's what he's doing as we are yielding over to what he's showing us. Then he begins to touch us. We get the healing. We get the deliverance. We get the peace in the mind. I know one of the biggest hindrances, as I bring this to an end now, is probably in our prayer life and study of the word. Because, of course, that's where the devil likes to attack us. Because part of our prayer life and reading the word is our fellowship with God. Has he been attacking you in those areas? Well, if he has, then God is getting your attention. It's fellowship. We need to come together and share. And if that's your heart's desire, whatever your circumstances, however big your family is or whatever it would be, God will give you that time because it's supernatural. I've heard of testimonies of some sisters who've had 6, 7, 8 children, and yet God still gave those mothers time to have quality time with the Lord. Why? Because they were putting the kingdom of God first. They'd settled it. And all these things will be added. Don't try and work out how God does it. He just does it. Because we walk a supernatural walk. We don't walk like the world. We're not of the world. We're simply passing through. Our future, our life is eternal with the Lord. And that's what we should be looking to. This life is passing away. It's coming under judgment. All the signs are clearly showing it. And God says in Hebrews 12, I will shake the heavens and the earth. In these last days, it's already started, the shaking. And man, science, medical science, politics, all of them, they're all trying to have answers to what it is, global warming or whatever it would be. All these lies that we hear, they're trying to understand what's happening. Science is so divided now. Why is it? Because God is shaking. And you can't understand when things start shaking. You try and measure something when the table or the floor is shaking. You can't measure because everything's moving around. And that's what's happening. Because God is shaking. And that's why at times it doesn't make any sense. But we keep our eyes on the Lord, who's the author and finisher of our faith. And he has promised he will bring us through, for he is our captain. He is steering the ship through these stormy seas, and he does it with a little rudder. At the end, a huge, huge liner ship can be steered by a small rudder. There you go. That's the mightiness of God. That is why in those winds and earthquakes, we hear the still small voice of God in the center. And that's how he works. And that is why our relationship is so important with him. Do not let the enemy get in to interfere or destroy the relationship that you have with Jesus. You value it. You hold on to it with all your life, with all your strength, your soul, your might, your being. It is absolutely vital now in these closing days. As we look unto Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith. Hallelujah.
Cradled in Jesus, our Father.